It's 8:19. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, good to have you with us this morning. Now, did you have a chance to take a look at how the Arkansas primary elections went yesterday?
Yes, sir, I did. I stayed up, it's an hour later here, so I stayed up pretty late, trying to see the results.
Yeah. Well, we're a little closer to ironing out the some of the congressional races. Of course, here in the 1st District, the Republican incumbent Rick Crawford will face a Democratic challenger, but we'll have to wait for a runoff to see who that will be.
Yeah, I think everybody's, is anxious to go ahead and get things settled so that the real race can, begin and people can start talking about the issues and go forward. But this was a good step, and some candidates are excited, some not so excited. I understand that perfectly.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to visit with Rick Crawford any about how he feels about the race?
No, I really haven't, and I'll be, dropping little notes, to both Democrats and Republicans and congratulating them on working hard. It really is. It's great that we've got people that want to jump out and do these things. As you become a candidate, it really is a lot of hard work and, on behalf of the candidate and their family. So it's good that we've got good people that want to jump out and be part of the process.
Well, another important House race for the state is the 4th District, where it looks like Tom Cotton will be the Republican nominee, but the Democratic race is going to go into a runoff in that race.
It is, and Tom Cotton, I think, is a great candidate. He worked hard. Beth Ann Rankin also, did a good job, but I think Tom will be a strong candidate. It is a little bit of an advantage, when you're in a situation where you don't have a runoff and then your opponent does, because they have to use a lot of resources and devote their time to, securing the election. So that's going to be an interesting race that I think all of Arkansas will be watching very, very closely.
Well, what did you make of the Arkansas primary challenge for the Democratic nomination for president? This Chattanooga lawyer, John Wolf, got 40% of the Arkansas vote for against the sitting president.
Well, I think, 40-41%, it just shows that there is real discontent, not only in Arkansas, but throughout the country. And, this should be a warning sign to the president. But the reality is that people are very, very concerned about the future of the country and the direction that we're going in.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things that Congress is doing during this election year. I understand there's been some action on further sanctions on Iran.
Yes, and I think that's a good thing. We want to do this thing diplomatically and, try and put as much pressure as we can. Certainly, it's not in anyone's interest if Iran develops a nuclear bomb, because you'd have nuclear proliferation. Egypt would go nuclear, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all of these countries, because of their fear, the centuries-old fear of the Persians. One group is Arab, one Persian, and there's just been a lot of animosity through the years. So, and then you have the situation of them basically saying they'd like to build a bomb to blow Israel off the face of the earth and then deal with us. So I think it's a good thing to ratchet up the sanctions. Certainly that's the way we'd like for this to end, is them to just, see that the world is not going to tolerate this and then back off.
Senate action, or is this something that is passed, is going to go through? Or
yes, no, I think that there's, widespread, widespread support in that regard, and that's something that will happen.
Okay.
There's been, some minor disagreement and things, but I think all those things have been worked out.
What do you think of the president's plan for the gradual troop withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I think all of us want to get out of Afghanistan as quickly as possible. I was over there not too long ago, a couple months ago, got to visit with General Allen, the head of the coalition forces, also the ambassador from our country there. And my concern is, and I think the president's concern also, and I know, in talking to the general, what I don't want to do is, as we pull back, we've got to do it in such a way that the primary issue is keeping those that are left safe, you know, so that they can continue to do the mission that we ask them to do in a manner that keeps them safe. And, you know, the general reassured me that that would be the case, that that was also his primary concern. So I think that, you know, we're moving in the right direction. We want to get out as soon as possible and leave a stable situation so that it doesn't become a breeding ground for terrorists again in the future.
Yeah, and of course that's a big concern. Can the Afghan government prevent a return of terrorist forces, of the Taliban, and so on?
Well, again, in visiting with General Allen and the ambassador, they feel like the training of the army, the training of the police is going very well. The people respect their military. So I think these are all very positive things. So right now, much of the raids that are being done, a good part of that is being led, in fact, almost all of it is being led by Afghani forces, and we're more in a support role so that we just don't, you know, transition immediately. Right now, they're doing, you know, a great deal of that work. So that's a good thing also.
In region, the tension continues between the U.S. And Pakistan. This was one of the focal points in the recent NATO summit in Chicago.
Yes, it was. And, you know, Pakistan is an important country in the sense it does have nuclear weapons, and so it is to the advantage of the United States, the entire world, that you have stability there. And with the war in Afghanistan, that has certainly caused them problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about the stability of the Pakistani government and some of the, of course, there was questions about how long they knew Osama bin Laden was in their country, and there's a lot of tension between our two nations.
There is, and there's just a lot of tension in the region. You know, if we remember, it wasn't too long ago, right at the turn of the start of this century, that India and Pakistan squared off and almost had a nuclear confrontation. And then, you know, both sides stepped down. So there's lots of things going on in that part of the world. And the United States, you know, has to be strong and has to be an honest broker and do their best to try and, you know, keep things under control and, again, provide for stability.
Well, back to Congress. There were votes in the Senate last week on 5 different budget proposals, all of which were rejected. What's going on with the budget process?
Well, sadly, the Senate hasn't had a budget in over 3 years. We're required to do this by law. And the Senate Budget Committee, which should, you know, we should have been voting on a budget that came out of the Senate. But again, Senator Reid elected not to do that. President Obama's budget didn't receive a single vote. You know, there were several Republican alternatives. Again, in an effort, just really trying to get the talk started. And some of those had good things in them, some of them not so good, but they were an honest approach to, you know, let's get serious and actually discuss a budget. Because, you know, how do you run any business? How do you run your household, your business, much less an entity that spends $3.7 trillion, you know, without having a budget?
Well, this looks like a pretty well standard partisan stalemate that we're getting used to, unfortunately. How much is election year politicking affecting things?
Well, that's not really a partisan stalemate in that regard at all. Republicans are quite willing to, you know, talk about what it's going to take, you know, to actually get us back on, you know, a fiscal path so that we can solve our problems. Senator Reid just doesn't want to talk about the red ink, doesn't want, you know, the folks on his side to take any difficult votes. Because, you know, the reality is when you're spending almost 40 to 41 cents, 42 cents of every dollar you spend is borrowed money, over $1 trillion deficit for the last 4 years, you've got to start really making some significant cuts. And I believe that the American people are willing to do that. What they want to do is be reassured that it's not balanced on their backs, whether it's seniors or farmers or whatever the entity is, that it really will go to good use and that it actually will start solving our problems.
What's the latest on the farm bill?
Farm bill is so important, you know, not only for the state of Arkansas, it's our, you know, our leading portion of the economy, but also of America. And we're, you know, a bill was passed out of the committee. I've got a lot of concern about the current bill because it just doesn't protect southern agriculture the way it should, in the sense of giving us the price supports, not so much price supports, but just the safety network that is going to be required. And this is so important. You know, when farmers go down to get a loan and things like that, that's what the bankers are looking at. So we're working hard. We've teamed up with a number of other senators. We've teamed up with, Rick Crawford's done a good job in the House. He's on the committee. Frank Lucas came down and did a committee hearing, and we can be very proud of that. The hearing in Jonesboro, he told me, was the best hearing that they'd had all year, either in Washington or out in the field. So, but we're working hard to make sure that we have an equitable situation where our producers have a good safety net. We've lost a lot of our manufacturing. We're dependent on foreign oil. The last thing in the world we need to do is be dependent on the food that we eat coming from some other country.
I know this farm bill that you have concerns with it may come to the floor as soon as, what, next week?
Yes, sir. They're talking about it coming up perhaps next week or the week after. And so actually it would be the week after that. I'm sorry. Okay. Memorial Week is next week.
Right.
So it would be the week after that, early June. And so right now there's lots of visiting, lots of negotiating going on. Again, trying to make sure that we have an equitable situation, so it's something that we can all support on the floor of the Senate and go forward.
So is this something that's going to be tough to a lot of wrangling about?
There will be, and the reality is, as far as southern agriculture, and it's interesting. This is not a partisan thing. This really goes to the region of the country. The wheat growers in the north have certain problems. In the south, because we irrigate a lot, we really don't worry so much about the yield, because of irrigation and things, you can control that to a large degree. What we worry about are changes in the input cost, fertilizer going up dramatically, energy going up dramatically that are running the pumps, or perhaps a significant drop in the price of the commodity. So the others have different needs. They worry more about drought, and not having a good yield. And so it's hard to, right now, the proposal is kind of a one-size-fits-all, and it just doesn't work. So this is, it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's more of a regional thing. We'll have a lot more support for our region in the Senate just by the nature of the makeup of the committees.
That's interesting. It's always been the case, it seems, with the farm bill, is that it is not really a partisan thing. It's more of a regional interest thing.
Yes, sir, you're exactly right, and hadn't changed any. I've been through a couple of these now, and this is a new one. But at the end of the day, what we've got to do is come up with a good project. You don't want to be in a situation where you give incentives that everybody's growing the same thing. You want to make it such that we can have a wide variety of crops that have a good safety net. We're so blessed in America in the sense that the percentage that we pay for our food out of our paycheck is very small, compared to the rest of the world. So we're feeding America, and then we are also feeding a good part of the world. And as the population increases, we're going to be asking our farmers to do more and more.
Well, I know you had a move to continue a program for veterans. Tell me about this partnership with the Olympic Committee.
Yes, we're trying to reauthorize that. That's an excellent program where our disabled vets participate, and that's been a great program. And it's not only for the kind of the world-class disabled vets, but has also been pushed down into the communities and things. And so it's just a way for, these individuals who have been significantly injured to think about other things and to realize that despite their injuries, they can do exceptional things, and their stories are just quite remarkable.
And this is an especially important program to think about as we head into Memorial Day.
Very much so. And, you think about the sacrifice that's going on right now as we speak, in places like Afghanistan. I was in Warren last week and attended a funeral of an individual, you know, that had died in Afghanistan, and all of these things just bring back the sacrifice. So this will be a special time to just kind of pause and remember those things.
We're about ready to need to wrap this up, but do you have Memorial Day plans?
Not so much. I'll be home, and actually we'll be at a family reunion. And which, again, is a nice time of the year, you know, to do those kind of things and stop, you know, pause, get together, again, you know, contemplate the Memorial Day memories, but also to be around family and friends and just kind of slow down and just enjoy the tremendous blessings that the Lord has blessed us with as a country and a nation.
And it's an excellent time to just pause and remember why we have these freedoms, too.
You're exactly right.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today, Senator.
Thank you, as always, for having me.